Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com. Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Cruising through a Thursday here on 96.5 The Fan. Royals have an off day today. They open a three-game set against the Guardians. Big three-game set coming up at Kauffman Stadium this weekend. The Guardians ahead of the Royals in the standings and in the wild card standings. And the Royals are three games under 500. Before we can talk about them being a playoff team, they have to get back to 500 to even be in that conversation. And so it starts this weekend. A team that's ahead of you in the standings that all of a sudden is playing a little bit better than we thought about a week ago. The Guardians. That is, they're rolling into town, and so now you have an opportunity to beat a team that's ahead of you to gain some ground. An important weekend coming up for the Kansas City Royals. Also an important 7 days coming up now for the Royals as we get to that trade deadline, and you know, teams all over Major League Baseball are huddling and having their meetings about, you know, what they want to do and deciding whether or not they're in this thing or whether that not they're out of this thing. And I think right now, if you look at the Royals of where they are, three games under 500, many teams to overcome to get into the postseason, I think reality would probably say you're not a playoff team right now. And I don't think that's a bold statement or anything. If you just look at the standings, the Royals at this point in time are not a playoff team. Now, that doesn't mean they can't be a playoff team with additions and, you know, making the lineup better. Vinny Pasquantino lights out yesterday. You know, tip of the cap to him. Vinny was awesome yesterday. Salvador Perez yesterday hitting his home run. He's now 9 away from 300. That number is getting closer and closer and closer to becoming a reality this season. And I think that's so important to see, you know, Salvi go out there and take care of business this season. Also to pick up his player option for next year to ensure that he's going to be here, you know, in Kansas City and allow him to kind of finish his career with the Royals. I think that's owed to Salvador Perez, and quite frankly, owed to the fans to see Salvador Perez finish his career here in Kansas City, because he's become one of the most loved athletes, not just Royals, but one of the most loved athletes in Kansas City history. I think it's owed to us as a fan base to see him finish his career here in Kansas City. I think it'd be an absolute disaster if the Royals didn't pick up his option from a fan perspective. Fans would hate the fact to see Salvi somewhere else. And so 9 home runs away from 300 now. But the one guy that needs to be traded and has to be traded, and I don't think there should be anything holding back the Royals from trading him, is Seth Lugo. And Seth was brilliant again yesterday. You know, it was like, you know, just a kind of a brilliant pitching performance in what I believe should be his last appearance for the Kansas City Royals. I don't think trading Seth Lugo is waving the white flag at all on this season. I think, you know, Rich Hill has shown you, hey, maybe he's a guy that can give you some innings here or there. Lorenzen should be coming back sooner rather than later. You're expecting to, you know, potentially get Cole Reagans back into your rotation. Noah Cameron has been brilliant for you this year. Bubich has been brilliant for you this year. Michael Wacha has been solid for you this year. So you have options when it comes to starting pitching. I think holding on to Seth Lugo for the rest of this season, to me, doesn't move you forward as an organization. In fact, I think it pulls you back as an organization and sets you back more than it moves you forward, because you've got this gigantic trade chip right now that any contender would want in their rotation, whether it be the Cubs, and I'll get to the Red Sox here in a second, whether it be the Mets, it could be the Yankees. It doesn't matter who. There is a contender right now that would be willing to give you a nice haul in return to have Seth Lugo, because Seth Lugo, to me, watching that guy pitch, I don't know how you guys feel about him. That's peace of mind out there on the mound. Like, you feel really, really good that you know he's got this thing. We've got this taken care of. We're adults. We've got this handled. And, you know, it's like anything. When you're dealing with people and they're cool and they're calm and they're collected and they don't let the moment get too big, they don't panic, they go, hey, we got this. We're cool. That's what Seth Lugo is. And that's the type of guy that you want on the mound in the postseason. But he's also the type of guy that can bring you back a nice return and set your organization up better for next year and the future if you're able to trade Seth Lugo. And again, trading Seth Lugo to me does not wave the white flag on the season, does not say we're out of it at any stretch of the means. It doesn't even to me say that the Royals are sellers if they trade Seth Lugo. To me, what it says is we're moving this organization forward and we'll do whatever it takes to get better in any possible way. And one of the stories that I saw yesterday about Seth Lugo, I think it was from, the guy with the bow tie, what's his name? Ken Rosenthal and the Athletic. And he said yesterday in his article on the Athletic that the Royals maybe want some controllable bats back in return for a guy like Seth Lugo. And I'm like, okay, that's obviously what you need back in return, right? That's a good thing. Like you go in, you say, don't give me your best offer. Say, no, we're looking for a controllable bat for the next couple of years. If we're going to trade Seth Lugo, or hell, even if they're going to trade Chris Bubich or whoever the case may be, you've got to have somebody that's going to come back and give you the ability for the next couple of years to have that person in your lineup. And I was looking yesterday, and one of the names that's out there on the trade block is Jarren Duran of the Boston Red Sox. He's kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to outfielders, but he's got good numbers, right? I think in a part-time position right now, he's got like 9 homers, 51 RBIs, better than anything you got in the outfield right now, right? And so he's a guy that's controllable through 2028 that you can have in your outfield and has had all sorts of potential, had a really good season last year. I don't want to say he dominated last year, but he was in the conversation for awards last year, and a guy that you could say, all right, if we get him back in return for Seth Lugo, and I'm not saying it's a one-for-one or anything like that, but those are the kind of trades that you need to be looking for if you are the Royals right now. I don't think the Royals need to make a trade on a rental. I really don't. I think that's a bad move for the Royals right now because I'm not sure that they are a playoff team at this point in time. And if you make a trade for a rental, you're telling everybody you're a playoff team. And then if you go for it and you fail, well, then you're stuck with this guy's on an expiring contract and maybe you gave up a prospect. But trading Seth Lugo, I think, just fills so many different boxes and checks so many different boxes for you. You traded an expiring contract. You got a controllable bat for the next couple of years. You didn't wave the white flag on the season. And you could say by trading Lugo and getting a guy like Jarren Duran, a controllable bat, a guy that you can stick in your outfield right away, you actually got better today as well.
Yeah.
And that's the type of move that you have to look at if you're the Royals. A move that's going to make you better today and ensure that you're going to have a guy in the outfield for the future.
I mean, you bring it up all the time, but the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill and we're okay, right?
Right, yes.
So trading away talent doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to get better or already be better right there in the present, let alone the future. So I completely agree with you. From the 816, who will replace him in the rotation?
Well, I mean, you get Lorenzen coming back, you know, potentially. You get Cole Reagan's coming back, potentially. You know, we've got this guy that we saw two nights ago, Rich Hill, and my friend who they portrayed as Rich Hill's son in the crowd, which was I thought was hysterical. Rob Berryhill, shout out. I love you, brother. You're not Rich Hill's son, even though you do look like Rich Hill's son. And you're older than Rich Hill, not by much, but I love you. And it was hysterical. And I was texting with Rob yesterday. I'm like, they've got you as Rich Hill's son. And immediately he goes, that's not me. I go, the hell it's not. He goes, no, I've seen this 485 times today. I am not Rich Hill's son.
I also think one of the biggest things franchises do in all of sports that are struggling is let talent walk away and don't get assets back for them.
Yeah. I mean, they can give a tender offer and get a comp pick back in return and whatnot. But that's not the NFL. I don't think a lot of people get excited. Now, Drew Waters was traded for a comp pick a couple of years ago, so they put the comp pick to work. And you can get a decent enough player, obviously, with that comp pick of where it's located. I think it's between the second and third round. I could be wrong about that, depending on what the offer is and who the player is, obviously, the better the pick. But I think the right thing to do is to trade Seth Lugo. And if you want Seth Lugo back after next season, by all means, sign him in the offseason, right? Like, just because you keep him on your roster and offer him a qualifying offer, A, doesn't mean he's going to take it, nor should he. And B, he's going to go out there and seek the best offer regardless of what team that he's been with. So just because you're trading him now doesn't mean you can't bring him back after this season in free agency, right? He's going to be a free agent either way. So the conversation that I would have with Seth Lugo, if I'm JJ, is, hey, dude, we love you. We want you here in Kansas City. But we have an opportunity to go out and get a controllable bat for our outfield. You know we need that. I know we need that, right? But what we want to do is we want to trade you, use you right now in the best possible scenario. And then in the offseason, we'd love to bring you back. Let's have that conversation. This is by no means closing the door. If you want to come back to Kansas City, we're open to bringing you back to Kansas City. But at this point in time, if we bring you back to Kansas City next year, we want to give you an even better team than you've had the last couple of years. So we're going to utilize you now as an asset and get a guy like Jarren Duran back in return from the Red Sox, who's going to give us a power bat in that outfield that we've been lacking. And then when we hit the offseason, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, let's have that conversation about you possibly coming back and ending your career here in Kansas City. Like, it can happen that way.
It can absolutely happen.
Very rare, but it can absolutely happen that way. And I would have no problem with him doing that. But I think he's too much of a valuable trade chip right now to help you today and tomorrow than to keep Seth Lugo on your roster. I think he's more valuable by trading him before the deadline than he is by keeping him through the rest of the year.
Also, not the biggest timeline in rosters and trying to match it all up, but he's 35.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not exactly on the Royals timeline right now.
And that's a great point to bring up, and I'm glad you did, because there are teams around baseball right now that will be trading good players that just don't match their timeline of when they're going to be ready to win, and they're not ready to pay that guy $100 million or this guy $50 million. And I think you're right about Seth Lugo. Being the age that he is, he's kind of aging himself out. But bringing in a younger bat that's controllable through 28, 29, whatever the case may be, just makes more sense for this organization right now.
Yeah, and a contender win now team in the trade deadline trying to look to buy and add in that mound. Yeah, man, Seth Lugo is the perfect option for a win now team, 35, and you know he's going to go in there and rip it. That's what he's been doing all season. And this text from the 816, just about the rotation, says you get Reagans back in the rotation, you have a solid, strong 1-2-3 in Reagans, Bubic, and Cameron, Waka at 4, and anyone available at that fifth spot.
And that's a great text, because
great text.
I mean, we think we have to be solid 1-5, but really you don't. You know, 1-3 is your kind of your meat of your rotation, give you a good number 4, and then you'll figure out number 5. Yep. I mean, to me, trading Seth Lugo just makes the most sense of all time. Join 96.5 The Fan at Hollywood Casino on Friday, August 8th. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino and will be registering fans to win a signed Charles Amenahu football. Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X and enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 of Penn Cash on August 8th. Every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Coming up, we'll talk to our guy, Ben Maller, and we'll find out his story of when he first talked to Andy Reid. You'll want to hear this next.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
It's time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, you and I, we're kind of dinosaurs in this industry. We've been around this thing a long, long time, and we were kind of talking off the air about Andy Reid, the Chiefs getting ready for training camp, and you're like, I remember when Andy Reid was hired by the Eagles. Nobody knew who he was, and you had one of the first interviews with him, huh?
Yeah. So this goes back, going the way back. We'll do old guy radio. So I was doing local radio in Los Angeles. I was a young lad. And my producer said, hey, we booked Andy Reid of the Green Bay Packers coaching staff on the show. He'd just been hired as the Eagles coach. And I said, who's Andy Reid? I didn't know. I had no idea who Andy Reid was. He was on the staff in Green Bay. And the producer's like, well, he's an up-and-coming coach. He's from L.A. And so we had Andy on, and we mostly talked about eating Tommy's cheeseburgers. He was like, he worked at Dodger Stadium and all these L.A. stories. But the fact that here we are all these years later, and you know, I'm still in the business, and Andy has gone on to become one of the all-time great coaches in NFL history, it just blows my mind, considering, you know, that was a long time ago, even before the internet had really taken off. And I was like, I remember my producer was like, we ever have Andy Reid? I was like, why are we talking to him? I didn't know who Andy Reid was. And Andy was great. He was wonderful. And I was like, well, this guy's pretty good. We didn't really talk football that much. We just talked about his experiences growing up and his favorite restaurants and whatever. And he loved it, and he played along. And Then he had success in Philadelphia, and like, and the rest is history with the Chiefs. He's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that, and I tell these guys this now around here, some of the younger kids, I go, you know, before you realize it, there's going to be dudes coming into the NFL, Ben, that have no idea that Andy Reid was the Eagles coach at one point in time. I mean, we're getting that far removed where he's so identifiable with Kansas City, people are going to be like, he coached the Eagles?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it happens so fast. Like within, you know, just a handful of years, you move on. You don't retain that kind of information. You're like, all right, what's happened the last 10 years or so and everything before that? Unless you're from Philadelphia, you just kind of forget about it. And as long as the Chiefs keep winning and there's no end in sight, yeah, it's going to be when people think of Andy Reid, they're not going to think of him as an Eagles coach. They're going to think of him as the guy with Mahomes. They're like, they're tied at the hip together. They're handcuffed together for better or worse, Andy Reid and Mahomes. And so that's obviously been a lot better, but it's one of those things. Every training camp, I see these coaches' interviews at the beginning of training camp. They give the state of the team address. And every time I see Andy Reid get up there, he's got the same monotone delivery. You know, he goes over the injuries and all that stuff. But when you talk to him about, you know, food or whatever, he just opens up and he's great. And so I'm very happy for him. Obviously, he has no idea who I am, but I am I'm happy for Andy.
Ben Maller with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Now he knows who you are because I just reintroduced you, as they like to say in the business.
That's right.
The hot reset there with great. Ben Maller. But, you know, the Chiefs, again, are going to be competing for the Super Bowl. They're going to be the best team, I believe, in the NFL. The revenge tour is on. Who are the other 31 teams battling for second place in the NFL? Because that's what this is. Training camp is opened. Everybody else is fighting for second.
Yeah. So, obviously Philadelphia is going to be good again in the NFC. But as far as the AFC, it's to me the pecking order is the same. It's the usual suspects. It's Buffalo's going to be good. Cincinnati will be good again. And then you've got some teams that are on the fringes, like the Chargers and the Steelers that are playoff teams. The Bengals, who should be better, you would assume. Who are lurking in the shadows, right? And it's always going to come down to like who gets hurt, who's got the healthiest roster, who plays well in the playoffs and all that stuff. But those are the teams in the AFC. I don't really see anyone else. I know that we had a whole bunch of off-season shows about player movement, and like to me there's no obvious team that's going to jump, play leapfrog over those teams. Like the other teams, like some have said Houston, because they were a playoff team and they've got the young quarterback and all that. I don't see it with the Texans. It doesn't stand out. You know, there's nothing that really stands out. The Patriots should be better, but they're not in that class with the Chiefs. So that's not a great talk radio answer, Bob, but I'm telling you, to me it's the usual. It's Buffalo, Baltimore with playoff Lamar, which is not a good thing. And for me, I circle the Bengals because of Joe Burrow, and that's a guy. If they can get to the playoffs, I generally, even though the numbers don't always back that up, I look at Burrow as a guy that can be lethal in the postseason. So that's the team that I would circle other than the usual suspects.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cincinnati, and I just have to sit here and wonder, like, they're not signing their defensive players, obviously, and then their owner makes a buffoon out of himself and says he doesn't want to get into a guaranteed contract in case somebody ends up in jail and stuff like that. Like, how is Cincinnati looking to the outside world when you have an owner like that and players unsigned all over the place?
Yeah, well, they are they're like a time capsule. There's a lot of teams like this in the NFL. These teams that are family-run businesses that got the team, their legacy, they just pass it down. Mike Brown's been around forever, so he's not exactly a great example of that. But yeah, and you juxtapose, Bob, Mike Brown going on that rant, and then a couple days later, you have the financials of the Green Bay Packers come out, where every team, before they spent a dollar, got $423 million from the NFL. I mean, it's the most absurd thing. So essentially the way I read it is like, well, if we keep the salaries down, that's just more revenue for the family business, the mom and pop deli that we're running. And we don't have to spend more money on pastrami. We can just save money on that. And so it is amusing. And, you know, it had to kill the Bengals ownership that they spent money on Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Burrow got paid a couple years ago. It's got to be killing them that they had to do that. But I kind of get the argument with Trey Hendrickson only from the standpoint, it's like that old baseball analogy about the famous baseball story about this player named Ralph Kiner, who was playing for the Pirates and hit a bunch of home runs. And he wanted more money, and they went in to negotiate. I think it was with Branch Rickey, famous baseball name because of Jackie Robinson. And the famous story, he went in, and I'm going to butcher the story, but he said, hey, I need more money. And then Branch Rickey said, well, Ralph, where did we finish? And Ralph said, well, we finished in last place. And then Branch Rickey said, well, we can finish in last place without you. See, that's the argument, because the Bengals defense, even with Trey Hendrickson leading the world in sacks, they still were terrible. So, like, if they just work on the fundamentals, they'll be a little bit better. But it is a terrible look in Cincinnati. I don't disagree with you. Considering the amount of money they have, is just ridiculous.
Well, it's also a terrible look in Dallas, too. I mean, when you see Jerry Jones doing what he's doing, I mean, this guy is, like, dissipating right before our eyes and fighting with Micah Parsons and your starting quarterback before training camp even gets going with, you know, the inane stuff that he has to say. Like, these two owners right now are a really bad look for this league.
Yes, for me, though, I look at Jerry Jones, and this is an intentional situation. Like, Jerry's always said when it gets slow around the Cowboys, he stirs the pot and all that. And I am convinced that this is all part of the master plan by Jerry Jones, and it's going to be one of those Sunday morning pregame show stories, Bob, where Jay Glazer reports the Cowboys have agreed to a deal at the 11th hour with Micah Parsons, and they announce it just before the kickoff of the first Cowboy game. Like, I just, to me, that's how this plays out, that Jerry's doing this to drag it out and have everyone obsessed. And I mean, listen, I'm guilty. I talk about it too. Every night I talk about the Cowboys one way or another. But on that one, I think he'll pay it, and he's going to end up paying more because of where Micah Parsons is in line. But to me, that gets done. That's the Bengals are just cheap. Like, the Cowboys will pay, but they're just waiting to get the full bang for their buck.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, as we do every Thursday here on 96.5 The Fan, all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And the other big story that I think people are starting to talk about, and you kind of brought this up a couple of weeks ago, is Nick Saban to the NFL. And I know Colin Cowherd rolled out the Browns yesterday as a situation where he thinks he could end up. And you had said a couple of weeks ago, you like the Bills as a possibility for Nick Saban. I do too. If I'm Nick Saban and I'm going to the NFL in my mid-70s, I'm not taking over the freaking Browns.
Yeah. And all things being equal, like Buffalo, Cleveland, that's a lateral situation, right? It's not like Buffalo's that much worse than Cleveland or Cleveland's that much better than Buffalo. I've been to both. It's fine. So, yeah, the Bills are the one. You try to find a team. Do they have a quarterback? Check. They have a quarterback. Have they been in the playoffs and been close but not been able to get past, you know, the Chiefs or the Ravens in, you know, various playoffs? Yes. So they have all the ingredients. Now, if Saban, he wants to check that final box, win the Super Bowl, that would be the team. The Buffalo Bills would be the team that gets you there the fastest. And as far as Cowherd, like, I get it. Nick Saban's friends with the Browns owner, but Nick Saban's likely friends with every rich person because every rich person wants to hang out with famous football coaches, and Nick Saban's a famous football coach. Now, the only difference with that is that Saban did coach on with Belichick in Cleveland. So it might be one of those heartstring things where he's like, I remember when I was in Cleveland and I want to make the Browns great and all that stuff. But aside from that, you know, if you're legit, do you really want to, like, Cowherd's like, well, he's going to coach Arch Manning. Does anyone think Arch Manning was on the bench at Texas last year? And as Steve Spurrier pointed out, a guy that was drafted in the 7th round started ahead of him last year. So how great is Arch Manning? I mean, maybe he'll be wonderful, but he couldn't play last year. Couldn't get on the field, which is not great.
You know, and from one, you know, old coach to the next, all these folks yelling about Bill Belichick all offseason long at UNC, they've sold out all of their tickets. Is anybody surprised? I mean, I saw that story. I'm like, yes, I knew it was. All these, you know, kind of the, you know, the everybody like, oh, my alma mater's embarrassed by all of this. Yet here we go. We knew exactly what was going to happen. At the end of the day, Bill Belichick and North Carolina win. Every ticket sold out.
Not only every ticket, every season ticket, every individual ticket, and they are going to be shoved down our throats on ESPN. It's going to be nonstop. Bill Belichick, North Carolina, Jordan, not like the Jordan Hudson cam, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So it's great. And if it works out, Belichick will try to go back to the NFL. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter because he's got his money and he's got, you know, he's living his life and that's that. And hey, I'm in. There's not a lot of college football stories that I'm into. That's one. Like, I'll watch that. I'll watch Arch Manning at Texas. I'll watch Belichick. I'll still watch Deion at Colorado. Those are the ones that stand out.
Yeah, they are. They're the ones that stand out for everybody, and that's why Belichick was a great hire at North Carolina. Ben, we appreciate the time. Enjoy Back Together weekend in the NFL, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
That's Ben Maller with us, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And it is really interesting to see all the hand washers complaining about Bill Belichick. He's going to embarrass my university. Oh, they've sold every ticket to every game this year because that's what happens, right?
Yes.
I love these holier-than-thou people that think they're above the sports and I'm going to look down on the sports and, you know, I'm in the chemistry department or whatever it is and more people should be paying attention to me. Well, they're not because you don't generate the money. And all these people can complain about Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson and all this kind of drama that he's created at North Carolina. At the end of the day, you know what North Carolina is going to do? They're going to show you their budget sheet and they're going to show you how much money they've made since they hired Bill Belichick. But I mean, Ben brings up great points for the national kind of college audience. North Carolina, Colorado, those are the big stories that people pay attention to because they got the biggest coaches that are out there right now. And he brought up Arch Manning. That's the biggest name in college football. So can't get here soon enough for the start of the college football season. August 30th, we have Ohio State taking on Texas.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one. I'm excited for that game to kind of kick off the season.
Florida State and someone else. Florida State versus someone really good, too. That's another top matchup. Clemson has a primetime matchup against someone. There's like three or four like ranked matchups.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. Let's get it going early, and let's get it going good with college football. Make every weekend count.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One word on the Royals taking the series from the Cubs yesterday.
Good. Yes. All right. Let's go. You know, you fell on your face to the Marlins, right? You lost two out of three to Miami. And then you go take on the best team in baseball and you win two out of three. Salvador Perez with three home runs, another one yesterday. Lugo pitched really good yesterday, which should be his last performance for the Royals. Yeah, you needed that, man. So that was good. Vinny Pasquantino got really white hot yesterday. So fun to see, man. Everybody was kind of contributing yesterday.
Your boy won his bet on Vern's pregame show. Come on, baby.
That's unbelievable. Money. Nobody ever wins those, right? Exactly. Look at you.
Never. Okay, one word on Greg Olson was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. That's with Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. They brought up the Cam Newton Super Bowl fumble from around 10 years ago or so now. This is what he had to say on Cam Newton.
What goes through your mind when you see Cam Newton double clutch on that fumble?
You know, I think to the outside world, and I mean this sincerely, this is not me covering for Cam. Of every guy I've ever played with, if there was ever a guy that you did not have to question his physicality, his toughness, his competitiveness, it was Cam. And that is not a cliche cover for him. Like, if he pulled up in the moment for that ball, I've heard him talk about on his podcast, like, in the moment, that was not, I'm scared to go get hit. As we all have been there in time, your reaction to what you see in the moment and feel, and it's hard to really even quantify what you do, you react. For 10 years, I watched that guy put his life on his body, his life, his career on the line in big moments, in meaningful games, in Wednesday practice, in training camp, all between. People want to knock Cam for a lot of things. Fine. You cannot knock him for not being competitive, for not being tough. And when it came time to going out there to play, that dude played his ass off every day.
Who's anybody to debate Greg Olson on that? He's been there. He's lived the life with Cam Newton. So the one word that I would use to describe him is friend. That's what I would use in that. Cam Newton is getting defended by one of the biggest voices in the NFL when Cam Newton's come under a lot of fire lately. I mean, he's fighting with Ryan Clark. He's fighting with Dan Orlovsky.
Yep.
He's seemingly picking battles with a lot of people. Not many people have come to his defense. That's a friend right there in Greg Olson.
That is. It was good to hear that, someone kind of coming in his defense. I've not always been the biggest Cam Newton defender, but in that specific moment, I do agree with Greg Olson. One word on Caitlin Clark, you have written down here Andrew Luck of the WNBA, which I don't necessarily hate the comp. It sounds like she's having a tough time recovering, getting hurt a lot, getting hit a lot of contact, and she's struggling to get back on the floor.
Scary, because she is the obvious face of that league. She didn't play in the All-Star game. Ratings were down 36% from the year ago when she was. in the All-Star game. She is the one athlete that makes that league tick right now. And I know there are other good WNBA players.
Yeah.
But it's just like Tiger in golf. Nobody's watching if Tiger isn't playing on Sunday. The numbers will show you that people do not consume the WNBA like they do when Caitlin Clark is there. And so you've got to find a way to preserve her to make sure that she can play for as long as possible. Because the Andrew Luck situation that I see is that her career ends a lot earlier than it should because of injuries. And if these injuries are happening because the other girls are jealous of her and they're hitting her harder and they're being rougher on her, well, you're just cutting your nose off to spite your face, because Caitlin Clark is going to be the ultimate reason why the WNBA makes money and why the players in the WNBA start cashing legitimate checks. Players need to figure that out and not go out there and beat up on Caitlin Clark. The players need Caitlin Clark in the WNBA as much as anybody.
The Angels minor league affiliate team, the 66ers, are going to host a, quote, nothing night on July 23rd, which was last night. There was no announcers, there was no music, and no admission fee, just baseball.
I think it's outstanding. That's what I'll use, outstanding. And peaceful is another one word that I would use. Imagine just going to the ballpark and not having all the ambient noise, not having music, not having the announcers, not having the vendors, not just a quiet, serene place to kind of watch baseball. I'd like it, actually. I think it'd be fun for one night just to go in there. Not at the paid admission either. It's a free baseball game. Just go in there, pick your seat, and watch a game and enjoy it for the purity of baseball. I think it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it would be fun for one night, like you said. I do think I would miss the showmanship of just sports and, hey, peanuts, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? But I think for one night, yeah, I think it could be really cool and sort of old school, kind of a traditional feel that you definitely don't get anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, I would like that too.
Yeah, just something peaceful, different, you know, unique to do every once in a while. It's okay to kind of branch off and do some different stuff. I like that idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea from them. You probably got some people in the seats too.
Yeah, you didn't make any money off it, but hopefully you put on a good enough product.
Everyone knows imperfect.
Whoa, hopefully you put together a big enough product that people are like, yeah, I'll come back for this. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was great. Exactly. That's what you got to do, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Have fun. So what were you going to play there? You know, going to get into something, or we want to do that later?
No, we can do that later.
We can do that a little bit later on. Okay, that's fine. Fair enough. Coming up here, we do Smash or Pass and give you an opportunity to win a gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. When you hear that sounder, you know that sounder. It's Thursday when you hear it, and you're caller number 7 to 913-586-7965. You're going to win that Booth Creek Wagyu gift card. We do that next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty, 96.5, The Fan. Mac Morey here as well. Dusty is off for the rest of the week. He's on vacation. Mac is filling in and producing, doing two jobs for the price of one.
Mac's awesome.
Yeah, coming up a little bit later on, in about, I don't know, less than 10 minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to win a gift card from our friends over at Booth Creek Wagyu, now with two locations, Casey's Best Steaks, and they're located at 95th and Knoll and 135th and Metcalf. And I tell everybody, get the Denver cut when you go in there. It is phenomenal and will feed your entire family. So when you hear this,
finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning, like a dairy cow.
Yes, when you hear that, be caller number 7 to 913-586-7965, and you will win that gift card to our friends over at Booth Creek Wagyu. And as we do every single Thursday at this time, we do what we like to call smash or pass, and I will throw you a curveball real fast, Mac.
Ooh, okay, I love it.
In about a half hour, 45 minutes from now, the Packers will release a throwback alternate jersey.
Ooh.
Apparently, Dick's Sporting Goods has already leaked this online. It is going to be a navy blue, dark blue jersey, yellow numbers, yellow striping on the side of it.
Okay.
Looks pretty good. I would smash that jersey. I think it looks really cool. I'm interested to see what the folks think when that gets released. They'll wear that, I think, twice this year.
So it sounds like it's kind of like their other old schools with the navy?
But, yes, but it's all navy. It's just navy, okay, and yellow. There's no like yellow, you know, it's a navy jersey, and then you have yellow stripes and yellow numbers on it.
Oh, I'm seeing these.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like these. These look good.
They look nice, right?
These do look nice. This is so they're gonna wear these twice.
I think that's what you wear the alternates, right? And that, you know, you wear them two times.
Yep. Yeah, the navy with that gold, that looks really good. Yeah, you're right. The leaked Jordan Love jersey came out. Three stripes on the sleeve. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
Smash City.
Yeah, absolutely. Fans will love it, man. Fans will love
Smash.
It.
They always do. A little change. Doesn't hurt.
Nope, not at all. Chiefs.
All right, let's get to some Smash or Pass then, Bob. You sent this yesterday. This is, I mean, for me, this is just a quintessential Smash. Smash Burger Tacos.
Smash.
Yes, 100% smash.
Yes.
And it's Smash Burger Tacos, but they turn into Big Mac tacos, essentially, is what they are. Mm. You take the burger patty, you smash it down, you put the tortilla on top, you do all the cooking and the onions and the pickle, and then you make your Big Mac sauce, and you use that as the sauce for the Smash Burger Taco, and then you can dip it in there as well. So, yes, 100% smashing the Big Mac style Smash Burger Taco.
It looked pretty easy to make, too.
Yeah.
In the video. I could make that.
Yeah, cook it on your skillet, you know, smash that burger down, put the tortilla on top. Doesn't take much. You can get it done.
I don't have the flat top, but I got, like you said, like a little skillet to put on my grill.
Yeah.
The grill that you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So like a mini Blackstone for when I have some fun. Pickle ice pop.
No chance. Yeah, no chance. No chance in hell that I'm smashing that. And it's interesting because, you know, pickle juice is actually really good for you. And Andy Reid made pickle juice popular in the NFL. His first game in the NFL was at Texas Stadium, and it was so hot. I remember I was at that game, actually, and people were like dropping dead in the concourse. I've never seen anything like it. It was so hot. And during that game, the Eagles drank pickle juice, and they say it helped them get through. And that was like Andy's first game, and they beat the Cowboys that day. So they had the opportunity to rehydrate themselves. But, you know, when I was in Texas, I had a coworker named Cindy, and she loved pickle juice snow cones. And I always thought that was the worst thing ever. And I'm like, no chance I'm doing anything like that. But, you know, some people like that salty pickle juice. And, you know, after a long run maybe outside in the summer, I've been known to drink some pickle juice and whatnot.
Well, it helps with cramping and
it
stuff,
does,
too.
You know, my daughter likes it after soccer and whatnot, but the pickle juice ice pop, especially with the chunks of pickle in it, I'm out.
I know, it's got the actual chunks of pickle inside the ice.
Yeah.
I'd give it a shot because I'll try anything, but yeah, I'm gonna pass on that as well. One of my best friends that we had a pickle themed birthday party for her just a few months ago. So
I get it.
I get some people are obsessed with the pickles, man.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pounded this week. Pickle shots.
Yeah, there's a bar in Baltimore right across the street called Pickles. And with every drink you get a shot of like tequila and pickle juice or something, I think it is. Or, you know, it's some kind of thing that they do with pickle juice shots and whatnot.
Love it. Yeah. I love pickle juice shots.
What about coffee ice cream?
I love coffee ice cream.
Do you? I wanted some yesterday. I told my wife, I said, go get me some coffee ice cream. I like it because it tastes good.
Go get me.
But I'm under the weather, you know, I'm not feeling so good and, you know, whatnot. And I thought she'd be sweet and get me some coffee ice cream. Because nobody else likes it in the house. And that's part of the reason why I like it, because I know if I get a pint of coffee ice cream, it's mine. Nobody's going to touch it. You bring anything else in that abode, man, and they're all eating it. It doesn't matter what it is. So I like coffee ice cream, but I like it even more because nobody else touches it in my house.
I'm not a coffee guy in general. I still don't even really drink it. It's not because I don't like it. I think I would like it more now if I tried coffee ice cream. There's some when I drink coffee, I don't dislike it like I used to anymore. Frankly, it's just because I'm trying to stay away from it. You know, just one thing, one other thing that I don't need to add. I've got enough vices, so if I can stay off the coffee as long as I can, we'll keep that up. I just saw this one today: pizza grilled cheese. It looks like they just got some mozzarella and some pepperoni melted in the middle of those two pieces of bread. Pizza grilled cheese.
Yeah, I'm not a grilled cheese fan, right? I've never liked it. It will never be something I eat.
How? Cheese and bread?
It's a bad experience. I threw up in a toy box with grilled cheese and tomato soup when I was three at Jack and Jill. I've told that story for years. I won't eat grilled cheese and tomato soup. It's one of those things like goat cheese, grilled cheese, tomato soup. Get it the hell away from me, right? Certain things like that. You know, some people have a bad reaction like that to tequila. It is National Tequila Day. If you drink good tequila, then you're not going to.
Okay.
Yeah. But grilled cheese and tomato soup since the time I was three, will not touch that, right? Absolutely will not touch that. But stuff like this, I hate the fact that they call these grilled cheeses because they, to me, are not grilled cheese. That is a pepperoni and cheese sandwich.
Yeah, it's, you're right. It's just cheese, bread, and some pepperoni. It's not a pizza. It's just a sandwich.
Yeah, but it's not a grilled, grilled cheese either. It's a loaded sandwich that has melted cheese in it. Like, and so the term grilled cheese always kind of turns me off, but I would absolutely smash that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would absolutely smash that one.
Damn, I bet your parents were like, seriously, we lost like the easiest kid food ever for
the rest
of time.
Well, it's their fault for sending me to that horrible nursery school. I'll never forget it. Jack and Jill, worst place on earth. Dover, New Jersey. Threw up in their toy box. My mother used to drop me off there every day. I hated it. Oh, it was an awful place.
And your retaliation?
They would spank you with a paddle.
Ugh. Hey, I got the paddle too, man.
Did you really?
Yeah. Wood paddle. I know.
I'm thinking to myself, you're like not old enough to be spanked.
I know. Yeah.
You know, like I am. We were all spanked.
Yes.
You know,
probably in school.
Yes. Well, I'm not quite that age.
Gotcha.
You know, that was Josh. He was spanked in school by the nuns back in the day, right, with the ruler. Like, they don't do that anymore, I don't think. But, like, my generation, you got spanked all the time. You got spanked with a belt. How many wooden spoons my mother broke over my ass back in the day?
Man.
I have no idea, right? It's a graveyard of wooden spoons around my house. But grilled cheese I was out on. What's the final one?
Garlic bread, shrimp, grilled cheese. Again, another term of grilled cheese.
Yeah,
here.
But
a grilled cheese?
But it's not a grilled cheese. It's shrimp that has melted cheese on it, sandwiched in between two pieces of garlic bread. I'm smashing, man.
Wow.
Smashing.
Yeah, that is, by no means is this a grilled cheese.
Right. That's not grilled cheese.
You could even, like, stick some linguine or some pasta in the middle of it.
You put pasta on the sandwich, huh?
I mean, maybe you could. They're getting funky already.
Yeah.
I would try it.
And we might as well, right?
Exactly.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Ah! Ah! Oh, yes! Yes!
I'd have a side of marinara for that.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Just kind of dip it in that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would 100% smash that. So that is another edition of Smash or Pass. Be caller 7. You heard the sounder. And you can win a gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, now with two locations at 95th and Knoll and 135th and Metcalf. So
meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Be caller number 7913-586-7965, and you're going to win that gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. Coming up, we have Max Chief's burning question of the day as we're 43 days away from kickoff. Next.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.